This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Pinchas, and of course it opens up with the responsibilities of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Hey Shivas Chamasi, Pinchas turned my anger away. And Rashi knows that this refers to the anger that Hashem should have had. So Rav Gedalia Shor Zatzal explains that this is similar to the idea found in Parshas Balak, that Bilam know exactly the right moment that Hashem gets angry. Kel Zoim B'chol Yom. He knew the exact time, exactly where Hashem got angry. But how does one have a time to schedule his anger? What does that even mean? So Rav Gedalia Shor Zatzal explains that Hashem doesn't get angry. Rather, there are times that Hashem expresses the need to have more Yiras Hashem in the world than Abbas Hashem in the world in a particular day. And since each day needs the proper mix, the lack of an expression of anger on a particular day allowed the proper proportion of Ava to Yira to be out of whack. And so hence Bnei Yisrael were prone to sin, which they did, until Pinchas' anger, of course, brought the people back to the restored proper balance. And so that's why God turns to him and says, "Hineni nosein lo es brisi shalom, I'm giving my covenant of peace." Now, what's a covenant of peace? Right? In Pirkei Avos, we identify peace as that which we are rodef and ohev. Ohev shalom v'rodef shalom. Why do we need to be from the students of Aaron to engage it? And so there's a story of a certain couple that owned an inn and used to curse one another concerning all the events that surrounded running the inn. So marriage counselor suggested that they stop cursing and replace it with blessings. So now when they had disagreements, they should bless one another and it will help them. So they resumed, and they returned. And they noted that while it's true they stopped cursing one another, they were now blessing each other, but they continued to strike blows at one another. You should be blessed. You should be cursed. Right? And constantly the physical was there. And Rav Yashar Zatzal explained that true shalom is one that's built on the principles taught by Aaron HaKohen. It has the peace and inner peace. Without it, these are just words. And after all, they say that monkeys can hug to death, right? And just like monkeys have the ability to hug to death, so too human beings can desire shalom, and in the name of peace, wind up killing many, many people. We also talk about Baal Peor, right? And what is Baal Peor? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explained that Peor is an avodah zarah of Hefkeiros. Its success came about because the people were arguing for godless equality. And if everyone is equal and there's no accountability, then Zimri-like actions abound. We're also told that after the process of Baal Peor and after the reward for Pinchas, Bnei Yisrael were told to be counted. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, "Su as Rosh Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael." And of course, who was included in this? Chanoch Mishpachas HaChanochi. And Rapam Zatzal noted that the great women of the generation got their strength from Yosef and from Sarah. And so it helped them withstand the pressures of Egypt and properly prepare the next generation. And so each family that was created has a hay in front of it, and the yod for, so it's the hay of Sarah Imenu and the yod of Yosef HaTzadik surrounding, because those are the things that certainly help build the families within the process. After all this is done, and after the episode with Beno Slavchad, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to prepare somebody else. And so he's told to take Yehoshua, v'nasata mehotcha alav, that you should give your glory unto him. And the Gemara tells us that Pnei Moshe k'pnei achamad, Pnei Yeshua k'pnei alavana, and oilo lo so busha, oilo lo so klima, that one should be very embarrassed. Yehoshua should be embarrassed from that description. And we have to ask a question to ourselves, why should there be an embarrassment over here? And so the Lutzker Rav, the Oznaim and the Torah explains that, like the moon, which doesn't seek to solve the question of what happens when it ceases to illuminate, so too Yehoshua does not find a successor ultimately. And he has to think about that. And that's a great challenge to him as well. We're told, Sabbath b'nei sovei amatol lehem es karbani lachmi li'ishai, right? Reach nichochi tishmeru. And the Gemara records a disagreement between the tzedukim and the rabbis as to whether the karban atamid can be donated by an individual or if it must come from communal funds. So when the rabbis use this pasuk to best the tzedukim, tishmeru, right, they declared a yontif for the first week of Nisan when the event occurred. Now, there were many differences between the tzedukim and the tzadikim. So why did this one spark such excitement? So Rav Kook in Mishpat Kohen notes that the Tzedukim deny any Kedusha in the collective of the people. To them, the group is really just a gathering of business partners, and thus anyone can donate to the Karban Tamid. However, the Tzaddikim maintain that this is not the case, that there is a Kedusha to the entity of the collective, and winning the argument confirmed a deeper level of purpose to a united nation, and it was a major course of celebration. And by the way, if I may add to Rav Kook's great thought, this occurs right before Pesach, when the individual learns the importance of the Chabura, of the process of being part of a greater group of individuals. We're told after the bringing of the Karban Chodesh, Zos Olas Chodesh Bechacho Lechad Sheashana. This is the Ola of the Rosh of each month in its month for the months of the year. So Unkelus explains that the Karban Ola is brought when the moon is in its renewal state. He does not translate that it needs to be brought each month, as he does in regard to the same language that's used on Shabbos, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato, Olas HaTamid. And why is there a difference? So Marina Rav Shachter Shalita explained that this might help us understand the Rambam, who notes that the months he referred to the months of the moon, since it says Olas Chodesh B'Chadsho. And when the Ola obligation is based on renewal, it proves that the month is determined by the moon. Otherwise, there'd be no monthly renewal. And so maybe that's the intention that Unkelus is trying to figure out and come to on his own. Finally, we begin the first of the Gimel de Paranusa this week in the Haftorah, where we're told, Mitzafon tipatach ha-ra'ah, that Yirmiyahu was told that from the north evil will be released. Now, Rav David Feinstein Zatzal explained that Nebuchadnezzar swooped down from the north, but that future tragedies as well would sweep down from the north. And the Yalkut says that in the time of Mashiach, Gog will also invade from the north. North symbolizes materialism, since the Shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash was in the northern part of the chamber. The Shulchan represents material prosperity and well-being. Materialism, as opposed to spiritual conduct and growth, is the root of sin, and the cause of the suffering, says Rav David. And thus the prophecy refers not only to the invading army, but to temptations that lead people astray. Not every battle that we have is going to be a battle of weaponry. Our job in life is to understand our battles, to meet them head on, and to best them to be able to go hala hala, mala mala, until we get to the ultimate place, to the opportunity to go up to Tzion. Birina Shabbat Shalom to all.